Welcome to another episode of Purple Insider presented by Scout Logistics. Matthew Powler and Sam Ekstrom here. And Sam, I think what we need to do is we need to bring back What Now, Sam, a little bit.
All right.
In this episode. But I want to do that in a minute. But I was having a conversation with someone, our friend Lauren Cox, who does the Locked On Bears podcast. And a topic came up that I wanted to start us right off with because I really love it. Who do you think the quarterbacks will be in the NFC North in the first day of the year 2022 NFL season? 2022. We have Rodgers drama. We have a little bit of a lack of clarity on Jared Goff's future. We have a lack of clarity on Kirk Cousins' future. And then we have Justin Fields. So I'll fill in Justin Fields, Chicago Bears, will be the starting quarterback 2022 for them. How about the rest? I think the rest are really interesting.
All right, so the Lions don't have the heir apparent, and Goff's contract situation is still really binding. Like, I don't know if people have looked at the salary info, but $30 million dead cap in 2022. It feels like a two-year project for the Lions to sort of use Goff as the bridge and then get the team ready for the next quarterback in 2023. And because they don't have the next quarterback there, 2022 is going to be, I think, the learning from the bench year for whoever that might be. I think Goff starts in 2022, but he's looking over his shoulder, and then the Lions can cut him at relatively low cost after that, or trade him, probably trade him because he's a quarterback and he'll fetch something on the market. For Green Bay, I don't think it's necessarily Love. I mean, I don't think it's Rodgers, especially if, like, at most, Rodgers would play this year. And you know what? I'm going to retract that. I don't think Rodgers plays this year unless he's extended in a very lucrative fashion and has his ego massaged and given a bunch of power in the front office. So I guess in that case, he could stick around beyond this year. I don't think that's likely. So I don't think it's Rodgers, but I don't know if it's Jordan Love. I think it could be quarterback unknown. Could be like a veteran bridge. Is it Teddy Bridgewater? I don't know. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback in Green Bay. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yes. So I came up with a bunch of different potential options of who it could be outside of Jordan Love, which I agree with you. It's worth throwing up the red flags all over the place that the guy was not their backup. I mean, teams know pretty fast about whether these guys are going to work out or not. They'll never say it, but they know. I mean, I've heard coaches even say by like the first couple of weeks of training camp, we know whether our draft was good or not. And then, you know, sometimes you get those guys out there and you go, oh no, like, what are we going to do with these draft picks? And I think that that does happen with quarterbacks at times where you just realize after a year of practices and training camp that this guy probably can't play in the NFL. And if you can't master the offense, as we have seen many practice squad quarterback try to threaten Sean Mannion. But we know that if you can't master the offense, you can't go out there and play. It's just not going to work. So if that is the case for Jordan Love, who is only 22, by the way, still, but if that's the case for him, I had a couple of names come to mind. One was Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I know that sounds weird because you're like, well, they got Trey Lance, so they're not going to do that. Now, that's true. But a three-way trade with another team to acquire Rodgers, but they send draft picks to San Francisco and San Francisco sends something else to Green Bay or something like that. Some sort of three-team trade that would land Jimmy Garoppolo in Green Bay. Remember, Matt LaFleur plays the same type of offense as Kyle Shanahan. So I think that would be a good fit. The other one is, I just think you always need to keep one eyeball on this franchise, the Las Vegas Raiders. Rodgers lives in LA. LA is very close to Las Vegas. I think that he would love to play in Vegas. Gruden is a nut, but he also knows that Derek Carr probably isn't it. And at some point, I'm sure that he wants to take that franchise to the next level. Like, I think that there's a halfway decent chance that if you're making a trade with Aaron Rodgers, that it ends up involving the Las Vegas Raiders somehow.
Yeah, Las Vegas has been curiously quiet in all of this. I know they were momentarily rumored to be a Russell Wilson landing spot. I was all about that. I thought that would have made a lot of sense. But you know that Gruden and Mayock are not just sitting idly by and ignoring all the noise. They know what's going on. They're well connected. I'm sure that they've, you know, got relationships with Rodgers from the years in the league. Like, I mean, Mayock's been in the media. Gruden's been in the media. They kind of understand how to manipulate a situation, how to, you know, the importance of these relationships. I think that Rodgers would enjoy playing for them. And you're right. It's a desirable landing spot with, you know, a little bit of talent on that team. I don't know if it's like stacked and ready to win a Super Bowl, but obviously Rodgers would, you know, elevate the possibility of that. It's funny you mention the 49ers kind of giving Garoppolo to the Packers, because right now, if you're Green Bay, you don't want Rodgers ending up in the conference.
Right.
If you're the 49ers, you know, I don't think you care where Jimmy Garoppolo goes. If you're the Raiders, I don't think you care where Derek Carr goes, because those quarterbacks are not existential threats to your team if they're on another team. The Packers are the ones who need to worry about it. And that's why the Denver Broncos thing, to me, still makes a lot of sense, because it's AFC, and it's a new GM. It's George Payton. It's a new GM. They don't really have the quarterback thing figured out long term, and they passed on a quarterback in the draft when they could have taken Justin Fields. Like, I still think there's something there in Denver, which would be in the same conference as Las Vegas. So, you know, Las Vegas probably is hearing about this, sniffing around and saying, what can we do to cut to the front of the line and make sure he doesn't wind up in Denver? Green Bay, what do you need from us?
So I'll give you some other ones that would be really fun or interesting from the AFC. And so this makes Vikings fans happy to have Aaron Rodgers in the AFC. Miami is one that came to mind. So they were a 10-6 team last year with Tua not playing particularly well and Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you are Miami and you have a lot to give, you have young players. I mean, you could trade, I don't know, Jaylen Waddle to them, which would be the irony of all ironies, right? Rodgers was traded for a receiver. But that's a great team and a team that needs better quarterback play to get over Buffalo. So they, I think, are ready to win, potentially win a Super Bowl. New England also. They did all this stuff in the offseason, spent so much money to stack up that roster for Cam and Mac Jones. But if you were to trade Cam and Mac Jones for Aaron Rodgers, there's so many fun possibilities for these teams that are not necessarily set at their quarterback position. I don't know if, I mean, I guess Indianapolis is kind of set with Wentz for now. So I don't know if I could pull off a trade there, but those two AFC East teams really came to mind for me that I think should be calling. Now, let me ask you another question that related to that is, which team with an established good quarterback would you still trade for a shot at Aaron Rodgers? Like, would you trade Josh Allen for Aaron Rodgers? I would do that, because Josh Allen's about to get paid. So you could go, oh, he's younger, but he's going to be incredibly expensive anyway. And I think that even though he is very talented and good, he's not MVP Aaron Rodgers level, and that team could win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know that they can do it with, with Josh Allen. So how about the Chargers even? Like, if you were the Chargers, would you do Justin Herbert for Aaron Rodgers? So yes. Many interesting ones. I would too. What about like Baker? I would do Baker, right? Baker, yep. Mayfield. Yeah.
I would do Baker. I don't know about Allen. See, that's tough, because Allen is like, we've talked about, you know, how the progress isn't linear thing. Like, he's not necessarily going to be as good or better than he was last year. The stars aligned for Buffalo. Like, it was a really good situation. But I think one of the keys to being a successful quarterback is backing it up with the second great season. That's what separates the greats from sort of the one hit wonders. Rodgers obviously is not a one hit wonder. I'd give up Matt Ryan. I would give up.
I would do the Allen thing, because I'm not sure he'll be able to do what he did last year. Mm-hmm. And I also think that Rodgers drives your success, where Allen does with his legs, especially his playmaking, but you know, Diggs really elevated his play. Diggs and Rodgers together would be insanity. How about Lamar Jackson? Would you trade Lamar Jackson for Aaron Rodgers?
Hmm.
Mm.
Mm.
A That's tough. I would say no, but
I might think about it. I think Lamar is just a different breed. I think Lamar's pretty good. I would stick to Lamar, but I did think about it. You did get me to think about it. Let's switch it. Who wouldn't you think about it for? Mahomes. Brady, obviously. Russell.
I think I would trade Brady for Rodgers, but only because Brady is, he's got to fall off sometime, right?
What about Joe Burrow?
Oh yeah, I'd easily do that. Yeah, 100%. I would do that in a second. I like Joe Burrow a little, but not a lot. I mean, I think that Joe Burrow and Mac Jones are kind of the same guy. So if you didn't love Mac Jones, you probably don't love Joe Burrow as someone who is just taking a team to a completely different level. I like him as a Jared Goff style rookie contract quarterback who you can build around. And I think they'll win because of it at some point. But I don't know that there's anybody outside of Patrick Mahomes and maybe Russell Wilson that I would not do it for.
I think the, let's go back to the 2014 NBA blockbuster trade of the year, where LeBron James basically said, I don't care about Andrew Wiggins. He's an unproven commodity. I want Kevin Love, the proven commodity. And he makes his new franchise trade the number one pick to the Timberwolves for Kevin Love. And LeBron wins a title. And Andrew Wiggins flounders.
So there's your question, though. Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance,
Zach Wilson, right? The kind of the big four. I would love to get 1 year before making this decision, but if I'm doing it blind, not having seen any of them in the league, I think Trevor Lawrence probably has the best chance to be really, really good.
Yes.
Zach Wilson is boom or bust to me. I think there could be a pretty low floor. And I kind of feel the same about Trey Lance as well. Justin Fields probably has a higher floor. I like Fields a lot. I would not do Fields. I would not do Lawrence. But if I'm the Jets or the 49ers, I think I'd make the move. And the 49ers, I mean, how much sense would that make to finally like kind of make amends for the draft of not taking Rodgers and then bringing him home?
I agree. I think if you're San Francisco, what makes that hard is that you've just put all of your eggs so much in Trey Lance. Like you've said, you're a franchise. We spent all these draft picks for you, and whoops, now you're traded. I don't know. Like, it's a really hard thing to sell, maybe. But I think it's a really interesting discussion because the door ends up so wide open for so many potential options. Before we play What Now, Sam, I have a very brief interlude question for you, because the world is talking about Tim Tebow, and look, I don't care personally at all about whether Tim Tebow makes the Jaguars as a tight end. If he does, then God bless and have a good time and play tight end for a football team. I don't know. What do you want from me? Like, this happens all the time. I see people getting outraged. He's taking attention away from Trevor Lawrence. Like, are you serious? The man has not played in the NFL in like 8 years. He is not relevant anymore, except for you guys keep trying to make him relevant. Like the Mean Girls thing that Courtney brings up all the time. Stop trying to make Fetch happen. Stop trying to make Tebow happen, NFL media. But I do have a fun question for you off of this, which is two actually. But so the last time he played was 2012, right? If you could grab somebody from the Vikings 2012 roster that's not Adrian Peterson, because that's obvious, whom would it be? Who would you just bring back from the 2012 Minnesota Vikings and drop them on the current squad? The answer might be too obvious, but
okay. All right. Don't give it to me right away. So this is going to be me like rattling off like all the players that I can remember and then arriving at a conclusion. So the running backs were Peterson and I don't know, the backup was irrelevant. Toby Gerhardt.
Irrelevant.
Yeah, you're right. And fullback might have been Jerome Felton, maybe.
Yeah, Jerome Felton?
Okay. Offensive line would have been Khalil. Nope. Charlie Johnson. I think Burke was still on that team, or maybe John Sullivan. No, it was John Sullivan.
You'd probably bring back either one of those, but These are not the obvious answers for who you'd bring back from the 2012 Vikings.
Yeah. Okay. Jared Allen.
Okay. There's one. There are several. Antoine Winfield would have been one of them that you could bring up
for sure.
Still not the number one choice. The number one choice is also not Blair Walsh, although he was unbelievable in 2012.
It might be Blair Walsh. If it's the 2012 version of right. Blair Walsh. He was phenomenal. So Kevin Williams was also on that team, but they're kind of set on at defensive tackle. Jamarcus Sanford was the safety with Harrison Smith. Greenway. Aaron Henderson might have been a linebacker, I want to say.
Still have not reached it yet.
I haven't. Okay. Tight ends were Rudolph and maybe John Carlson. Wide receivers were Harvin.
Yes. Percy Harvin is the answer. Yes.
I haven't gotten to wide receivers yet. It was Harvin. It was Michael Jenkins.
Yes. Yep.
And I don't even know who their wide receiver three was, but Harvin for sure.
That's usually the case around here. Jerome Simpson was wide receiver three behind Jenkins and Percy Harvin.
Jerry's right also.
Yes, Jerry's right. Percy Harvin on this football team, the version of healthy Percy Harvin, would make them the best offense in the NFL. I think outside of maybe Kansas City. I think it would be the best NFC offense hands down, if there was someone like Percy Harvin, one of the most explosive, exciting, unstoppable players that you could line up anywhere and do anything with. Even Mike Zimmer would have to pass the ball at that point.
That's really a great what if in Minnesota sports lore is what if you could have gotten more out of Percy? Because the Vikings basically got 3.5 years of Percy. Two of those actually were lost years. Like the 2011 team completely tore it all down. They had McNabb and pivoting into Ponder as a rookie. Year before that wasn't supposed to be lost. It was supposed to be like Favre, you know, revamp number or Favre 2.0, but it flopped. So they really only got one impactful Percy year, and that was his rookie season. And then the first half of 2012. And then he got hurt. He got mad. He never played again for the Minnesota Vikings. But for as little an impact as he had, like in terms of like being on meaningful teams, I think Vikings fans think of him in a legendary sense, maybe because he was affiliated with Favre and everything about the Favre year just has like the Midas touch to it. But Percy, like as a kick returner, was so fun to watch, like his ability to just weave through traffic and make that one cut and go. The way he kind of his switch of directions midfield was insane. Like the way he could just cut on a dime. Awesome, awesome player.
Hey everyone, anybody who listens to the show knows that Sam and I may not be scratch golfers, but we love to have a great time playing golf. And that's why we have partnered with Birdie Golf in Woodbury. Birdie Golf is hands down the best indoor golf experience you will ever have. There are 8 of the world's best golf simulators where you can sharpen your swing and, luckily for us, never lose a ball. But it's not just for hardcore golfers. Birdie Golf is for everyone. Bring the family, play arcade-style games while dining on great food in an upscale and comfortable environment. They have private bays for social distancing, a luxury lounge for private events, outdoor patio, and scratch kitchen. You'll want to try the whiskey or beer float flights and the best boneless wings in the metro. Make golf a night out or the place to hold parties, events, fundraisers, even your fantasy football draft. Check out Birdie Golf at 494 in Valley Creek in Woodbury, just a short drive from anywhere in the Twin Cities metro, and at birdiegolf.com, or you could call 651-998-2200 today. I'll see you there. Folks, the football offseason is off and rolling, and SodaStick has you covered with Minnesota sports-themed gear. Some of my favorite football designs that you have to check out include the Chuck Foreman Spin Doctor gear. You can commemorate Randy Moss's disgusting act on a shirt or a hoodie. And if you're old school, check out the Purple People Eaters design as well. Go to SodaStick.com and check them all out. If you use the promo code PURPLEINSIDER, you can get free shipping on all your Minnesota sports-inspired gear. All of their apparel is screen printed here in Minnesota on super soft, super comfy shirts and hoodies. You will love it. Plus, keep your eyes and ears out for our giveaways going on this show as well on social media. Follow them at SodaStickCo on Twitter and at SodaStick.com for your original Minnesota sports inspired goods. Code PurpleInsider for free shipping. I think he has a highlight reel that would rival almost anyone, even though he didn't have a full career. There was a YouTube video of him where it was all of his 20 plus yard touchdowns, including kick returns. And the video was like 10 minutes long. I mean, it was just incredible. It was like every touchdown he scored seemed to come from, you know, like some sort of incredible explosive play. So that to me was the correct answer, even though there was a handful of others. The only other one that I had for you is, what Vikings quarterback would you have turned into a different position? Like Vikings quarterback that didn't work out that you would have turned into something else. The quarterback to tight end thing has worked before. Like there have been other guys, most recently Logan Thomas, who has become a solid NFL player going from quarterback to tight end. I'm not mad at Tebow. I wasn't mad at him for playing baseball. He was good at playing baseball. Like he had like 270 in double A, which is pretty good. I mean, he wasn't an MLB star, but there's a lot of prospects who fail to ever get close to double A. So I'm fine with it. Like, I don't understand why people get so upset about this guy. He's going to be a huge distraction. No, he's not. Not at this point in his career, man. Stop. So anyway.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he certainly had enough going for him, like marrying Miss Universe and all of that. Like he didn't need the attention of minor league baseball. Like he obviously just kind of wanted to do something fun and play a game and, you know, try to make the big leagues. He didn't. That's okay. But now, what was the question? Oh yeah. Quarterback conversion.
Quarterback to another position.
The easy answer is Joe Webb. And they kind of did that. They tried to make him a receiver. It didn't really work out. But Joe Webb hung around in the league. Good for Joe Webb. Like he continued to make himself useful, even though he wasn't the traditional quarterback. I think by the end of Dante Culpepper, you could have turned him into any, like a trenchman, like someone in the interior offensive or defensive line. Cause he was certainly, you know, he had the weight to be there. Do you have another answer? I can't think of anyone off the top.
I was thinking Taylor Heinicke punter, because remember that Taylor Heinicke had punted in college. I also thought of like maybe him as a scat back or something, because he's short and quick. I don't know. I'm going to have to take like maybe some answers on Twitter or something for that. There's like the ruthless answer, which would be like Christian Ponder should have been the towel boy or something, but that's too much, but I've said it out loud anyway. So, you know, I mean, I don't know, like even you go back, Tavares wasn't so athletic that you could have moved him to another position or something like that. It just sort of came to mind, like, I don't know, moving players of positions was something I love to do on Madden. And I can't believe the Vikings do it as often as they do, but quarterbacks changing or people changing to quarterbacks has always been fascinating to me. So anyway, now let's play a little what now, Sam. The Vikings still have $10 million in cap space. They haven't used it for anything. You did a piece on the website, purpleinsider.com, about just, you know, how they handled their salary cap. I don't want to ask you about what they're going to do with the cap space, because we can get into that. But how do you think what they did this offseason with their cap space will impact their future? So we were just talking about the 2022. Like, did they sacrifice in this offseason their future in any way with salary cap to make these things fit, with signings that they made, or with the way that they handled the draft, was something that came to my mind?
Yeah, I think it comes into better perspective when you research what other teams did. And that was sort of the premise of my piece, is there were a lot of teams in cap hell. Vikings were about $12 million over, and it wasn't as bad as it could have been, like the Packers, the Falcons, the Rams, who I wrote about. They were 20 plus million over, and that extra difference made a lot of difference. But like the Rams, they didn't want to cut anybody. So they just restructured Donald, Ramsey, Cup, Woods, Whitworth. Like they made sure that all of the core veterans stayed. They let all of their like second tier free agents walk. So they lost a lot of depth on that team. And they kicked some major salary down the road. So the next 2 years, the Rams are going in like a bottom five cap situation. They're going to be over the cap next year. And then after the year after that, obviously, we don't know what the cap is going to be. There might be a huge increase and they might be fine. But the Rams are taking a pretty big gamble because remember, they don't have future first round picks either. They've given those up and now they've pushed millions and millions of dollars of salary down the road. The Vikings haven't done that necessarily. Now, they could still mess around with the Hunter contract. Brian O'Neill's going to get more money on the books. We don't know about Harrison Smith yet. So I guess they could still like put themselves on the hook for some future cap commitments. But the only real finagling they did that kind of hurts them long-term was the Adam Thielen restructure. They pushed them some Thielen money down the road. And that was a really sensible move. That's a move they've done with almost all of their second contract veterans in the past. That made sense. But they resisted the urge, I think, to do that with other guys like Anthony Barr. Instead of kicking salary down the road, they just said, okay, you can be a free agent early. And they kind of cut it off after 2021. So I think that's actually smarter for like a sustainable roster makeup than constantly moving money around and pushing it into 2022, 2023. And the Packers did a little bit of that too. Like Green Bay didn't cut a lot of people. They tried to retain everybody. They carved out money through restructures so they could re-sign Aaron Jones to a big contract. And I think, you know how I feel about like extending running backs. It's not always the best idea. And Green Bay made that a priority. So they didn't add a lot of depth. The Rams didn't add a lot of depth. They just tried to keep people on the team. Whereas the Vikings, they cut people pretty willingly. Like they cut Stefan, they cut Bailey, they cut Reef, they cut Rudolph. And they gave themselves leeway to make moves. And I think for a 7-9 team, that was smart. They didn't tether themselves to these assets that were part of a bad team. And they tried to get better, at least on one side of the ball. Say what you will about the offensive approach to not really bring in anyone to help Cousins at all until the draft. But I think the way that they bolster the defense with the money they cleared up was actually pretty smart compared to the way other teams dealt with it.
I don't like anything the Rams did. I really don't. And I thought it was a good example in the way that you broke it down, that if the Vikings had done something similar, I think we would have been very critical of it. And that even goes for trading for a quarterback who's not much better than your current quarterback, if he's better at all, and who is less healthy. This is one thing that the Rams clearly did not factor, is that Matt Stafford gets hurt all the time. He's always, oh, Matt Stafford, he's playing through 69 injuries. It's like, that's not a good thing, man. Like, I know that he's tough and all that, and I'm sure that that gets the respect of the locker room. But if you got a broken hand and a broken foot and you got a torn ACL and you're going out there and, you know, playing average or below, like, this is not good. This is not getting your money's worth.
Monday after every, like, meeting against the Vikings in the Zimmer era, it was like Matt Stafford seeking opinion from back specialist after getting sacked six times.
That's right. This is that. And he gets sacked a ton. That's another thing that I don't think that they're factoring out there, is that Jared Goff, for all of his issues, the results have been pretty darn good. And I'm not sure that you're going to get a whole lot different, especially when you lose your defensive coordinator and you lose a lot of defensive talent, Troy Hill, John Johnson. These are not household names, but it's just interesting because they're on the Vikings schedule, and we'll talk about our whole schedule stuff when the schedule drops. And we're going to do another live stream on WCCO's social channels, which is awesome, when the schedule drops. But it's just interesting that when I compare the two, where the Vikings are at very much in a win now type of season and where the Rams are at in a win now situation, the Rams did a lot of things that are just highly, highly questionable. If it doesn't work out the way they think it's going to with Stafford, I'm very skeptical. I think I'll pick them to be like an 8-9 team. I just don't think they're going to be that good. And with the Vikings though, this is one area you have to give them a lot of credit, because there has been times in the past where they signed players to contracts or made moves and you just went, I don't know if down the road that's going to play out very well. And the prime example is Anthony Barr. When they signed him to bring him back for 2018, it's like, okay, well, yes. Or 2019, sorry. It was like, yes, you want him back for this year. His contract is okay, but down the road, this is going to hurt you. And it has. It did last year, and it will this year. And then you're in a situation to not play that contract out and to have to move it around and change money and all these things. they did a lot of that to make sure that they kept people together. And then ultimately it blew up between 2019 and 2020. And so there was a lot of questions like, did you really kind of look forward for that? Or were you desperate? With this offseason, it's a short-term contract with Dalvin Tomlinson. It's a short-term contract with Patrick Peterson. I think they paid too much for Patrick Peterson compared to the rest of the corners who signed after, but it's not going to hold you down for a long period of time. Even the way that Kirk's extension is structured, you could trade him after next year. There really isn't a whole lot of anchor type of contracts or things that they did this offseason that I would say, boy, down the road, I don't know how you're going to operate. Really, if they do change quarterbacks at some point, it should be matching up with a timeline where you're getting a peaking roster in 2022.
Well, I think when you don't tie yourself to a lot of guys beyond this year or next year, they've actually put themselves in a situation where if they have to eat all the Cousins money next year because they don't want to extend him, they can probably stomach it because there's a lot of money coming off the books after this year. Maybe Anthony Barr, like that's a pretty big savings if they don't have to pay Anthony Barr next year. If they don't pay maybe Harrison Smith next year, like there are a lot of ways where they've kind of created now a situation where in 2022, they're not dead. Like Cousins will not be like the be all end all that ruins that team. I think as it stands now, I think they're like $7 million under the projected cap, and the projection might even be more. Like it might be over $200 million next year with all the new deals. And that's without shedding any other salary with like the traditional roster cuts. So they'll still be able to do business next year, even with the albatross that is Kirk Cousins' contract. And, you know, I looked around the league too, like at the Falcons in my story, Matt Ryan has 40 plus million dollar cap hits each of the next 2 years. Like Atlanta has two more years of that. Ryan is turning 36 in May this month. So 36 and 37-year-old Matt Ryan, who's been under 500 each of the last 3 years, and the Falcons don't really seem concerned at all about their future at quarterback. They drafted a tight end, and granted, that's going to help Matt Ryan, but they could have also taken Fields or Jones, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. So the Vikings seem to sort of be like eyes wide open about their future, which you have to give them a little bit of credit for. They're keeping their options open, which, you know, you can include the Kellen Mond draft pick and all of that. Like the pivot is beginning. It's not too late to reverse course, but at least they've gotten the ball rolling.
So what I was going to say is their biggest win now move last year did not come until before training camp. And this is where we get into what now, Sam? Do you think that, let me just run through some what now options. Is it trade? Is there a trade still in the winds for the Minnesota Vikings, do you think? And if let's say I told you, Sam, they made a trade. I call you, Sam, they made a trade. What would you think?
Probably on the golf course if you're calling me about a big move.
Guarantee it that when we go golfing, there's going to be this trade. But what would you think I was talking about if I said they traded, they made a trade? Like what would you think it was for before I told you?
My first intuition would be Danielle Hunter. It's been so quiet on that front. And I would say, well, that's stupid because you didn't get any extra draft picks this year. Like that should have been your priority, is to capitalize in 2021 on that deal. So I would immediately think that, and I would say that's dumb. Even though they probably would get a nice haul for next year, it'd probably be good for the 2022 Vikings. Second intuition would be, wow, Kirk Cousins, this is happening. Kirk Cousins is going to Denver. I guess I don't know where, like who the trade partner is. Houston at this point, like if they don't have Watson, I don't know where the quarterback neediest teams are at this moment. It seems like a lot of teams kind of have their plan laid out. Five teams drafted quarterbacks this year that might play in week one. Thirdly, boy, Harrison Smith got traded. I think that, and I don't know who his successor would be there. I mean, you've got Xavier Woods and I guess Cameron Bynum, who we're both kind of excited about. I can't think of any other real candidates, to be honest with you.
So what I was thinking is, well, let me first rewind, because you said Kirk Cousins to the Broncos, and it's just the funniest because when I was working in Buffalo, hockey fans will remember this. People used to call into the station all the time and say, you know what the Sabres should do? They should bring back Ted Nolan. Now, Ted Nolan had been their coach who won coach of the year and then got fired. And then they had a lot of success with the next coach. But there was always this group of people that wouldn't let it go. And we used to make fun of them. It'd be like, come on, guys, that was so many years ago. And then the Sabres did it. Like, they actually brought Ted Nolan back. Hockey fans will know exactly how crazy this was that he came back. That would be like the, what if we traded for Teddy? And all of us go, come on, come on, come on, come on. They're not trading for Teddy. And then they actually did it, as if like maybe Denver traded for Teddy to trade Teddy to the Vikings and then have him be the quarterback for next year. That would be the craziest. A Hunter trade would probably be like for next year's first or something. It's still really, really hard to see. What I was thinking is the Vikings would trade their next year's first for blank, for Brandon Sheriff or something. Let's just say that they don't necessarily believe Wyatt Davis is an instant superstar, but they trade a first round pick for Brandon Sheriff and they give him an extension or something. And like, whatever, I don't know. Maybe you're not doing that if you just drafted Wyatt Davis, but he's a third round pick. So you wouldn't not do it because of a third round pick. The other thing I thought of was like a pass rusher. If there's somebody with a contract dispute who wants a contract extension or something, like what we were supposed to be looking at right now was Hunter and Ngakoue. And to tell you the truth, I mean, they probably would have been better off. They would have had to pay Ngakoue. You don't want to do that. But right now, if you had two pass rushers who were capable of double digits sacks, you'd feel a lot better than Steven Weatherly and Hunter. It just feels like, are you really going to let Steven Weatherly be your starter when he started for Carolina last year and got no sacks? So I don't know. The trade winds still seem to be, I don't know, at least I think that they might still be blowing.
Sure. Or the free agency wins too. Like, there were some links to Ryan Kerrigan, who I believe you were targeting back in March. So correct. Good eye for you. Played in 16 games with Washington last year, a decade with Washington. 5.5 sacks last year at age 32. You know, he's been double digit sacks 4 times in his career. I don't hate that move. He's like a 100 sack career guy. That's somebody that I wouldn't mind having on the team. I'm curious, how would you split up the defensive end opposite Danielle Hunter reps right now? Because you've got Weatherly, you've got Wanham, you've got Patrick Jones, you've got Janarius Robinson, and you've got the dark horse, Kenny Willekes. So how are you going to, what's the pie chart of the defensive end reps? And they're not all going to make the team either. Like, you're going to have to, Kenny Willekes might be in trouble. Like, let me just, for all the Kenny Willekes apologists out there, he may not be on the team this year. I'm so, so sorry. And I didn't even mention Jalen Holmes. They've got a ton of them. Hercules Mataafa is on the team.
Do you have to mention Jalen Holmes and Hercules Mataafa? Maybe not at this point. I think Kenny Willekes ends up on the practice squad, so we'll go there. And then it's Jones and Robinson as the backups for Wanham and Weatherly in a rotation. But that's why Ryan Kerrigan would be a perfect fit, I think, because then Weatherly and Kerrigan can mix in as the starters. DJ Wanham, if he shows something, great. If he doesn't, then he doesn't. But usually guys like DJ Wanham, it was like this with Afadi Adenabo and Weatherly. Usually takes more than 1 year for those guys to develop. It's usually 2, 3, 4 years before we see them become anything if they're not a first round draft pick. So I think it's going to be Hunter, and they get the contract worked out, and rotation between Weatherly and player X. And then on third downs, Weatherly rushes over the guard. Maybe that would be the thing that ends up happening, because they certainly are not using Michael Pierce on 3rd and 7. They're going to run somebody else in there, and they don't have a defensive tackle to run in there now. Maybe Geno Atkins becomes that guy. If he decided that he couldn't get a starting role and he could only get a rotational role. But I think that the options are numerous of what they could do. And clearly they are showing interest in wide receiver 3. There was reported interest in DD Westbrook from, I think, Josina Anderson was the one that broke that. And I'm a little hesitant on that one because of his past history of domestic violence and how that would come across. I mean, it already comes across bad, but especially with the Jeff Gladney thing. From a receiver standpoint, he would be a very good fit, I think. So here's the question, though. If you had a choice between, let's say, Melvin Ingram is the best free agent left, or a trade for another defensive end, or you could take $10 million and get four players at positions of your choosing who are okay at football, not superstars, but just okay NFL players remaining in free agency, which would you rather do? What now, Sam?
Yeah, at this point, I think you've kind of, you've got the depth pieces that you need. You don't need to do any more casting of wide nets. I think you can be more targeted in your approach right now. The 86th through 90th players you add on the roster typically aren't impact players unless you go get somebody who you have like researched, like Yannick Ngakoue, who this team, you know, clearly specifically went after thinking he could fulfill a certain role. And it didn't work out, mind you, part of that because, you know, the Vikings went 1-5 and they thought they were going to tank. And then they kind of came back to life and then missed him. But I think the trade route does make a little bit of sense because in theory, you wouldn't be adding a ton of salary to your cap in that situation. Depends if it's player for pick or player for player. There is a certain appeal to the free agency market because I think the cost on these guys is probably pretty low at this juncture. There's not going to be a lot of high demand from Ryan Kerrigan from a salary standpoint. So if you can get a free agent for a couple million dollars, and I think the Vikings have only a couple million to toss around after they sign the draft class, that's a route that I'd be willing to take. You might have to wait till after June 1st too, because that's when the Kyle Rudolph money comes back to you and you'll increase the cap space considerably. So I would, instead of signing five players from like rookie tryouts, I think I'd prefer the Vikings leave a couple spots open for late free agency and see who's available in June and July.
Hey everyone, I want to tell you about our friends at Scout Logistics, and I really do mean it when I say friends. They are fans of Purple Insider over at Scout Logistics, and since they reached out wanting to support this show, I want to tell you about what they do. Scout Logistics is just-in-time transportation for full tractor-trailer loads, and if you're wondering what that means exactly, well, if you own or work for a company that needs shipping solutions, they are the preferred carrier of Fortune 500 companies across North America, and we have quite a few of those in Minnesota, right? They can ship perishable, non-perishable, FTL or LTL, and they have on-time delivery rate of over 99%. So if you're like them and you enjoy the show and you have shipping needs, check out scoutlogistics.com or call 855-217-2688 extension 232 to connect with them directly to find out how Scout Logistics can minimize risk and overperform and go the extra mile for your company. Well, I was thinking sign five players like who are proven, like, you know, NFL players who are free agents. I think that that's a better route than getting the one player who's real good, like Melvin Ingram, because if he gets hurt again, then that sort of goes down the drain. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you sign two veteran wide receivers who are left that maybe aren't Westbrook or as proven, but say it's like Marvin Hall or someone who, you know, who's even heard of Marvin Hall, but he's just a speedster who might fit in somewhere with you. And you sign, you know, one other guy. Okay. So you got two wide receivers, you sign another veteran safety to be a backup. You sign another veteran corner to be a backup. You sign a veteran pass rusher to rotate in who is only expected to play 30-40. Adrian Claiborne, 34% of 40% of snaps, something like that. I think that was the way they should have gone last year, with late free agency still having a lot of good players, and it still does now. And they decided to go the Ngakoue route. So I'd probably go the opposite way, because I think of this roster similarly to last year, in that if we go position by position and ask, what if blank happens to this guy? Usually the backup situation is not good. I mean, what if Michael Pierce hurts his knee? Who's the backup? Armon Watts, I think, is the backup there. I mean, what if Eric Kendricks, you know, hurts his finger? Then you have Nick Vigil playing and Troy Dye playing. Like, there's a big drop off in a lot of different positions. I would try to fill those out. I think, if I were the Vikings. That's where maybe their weakness in my mind is. Their starting lineups are good, but anything beyond Adam Thielen is falling off the edge of a cliff there. So it'll be interesting. What now, Sam? I don't have any other questions.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you got to have faith in those three UDFA wide receivers, Colin. WAP, Fillier. WAP, Fillier.
Yeah, yeah. Short
Blake
for WAP.
Kroll.
For Whopper. He's fun to watch if you've seen him in college. He's an entertaining player.
WAP, Fillier is my sleeper to make this roster.
Oh, okay.
Right. I don't know if people didn't read the story, I'll spoil it. My projection on the UDFAs is you're going to get a wide receiver, you're going to get a linebacker, and you're going to get two specialists off of that list. I think it's going to be a big UDFA year.
Is it a big UDFA year if it includes two specialists? Is that big?
Hey.
I actually should. Okay, let me ask you that. Your last what now, Sam? Last one. What? Who's kicking for this football team? Because now I've started on Twitter to use eyeball emojis anytime a kicker gets released by a team. So someone named Elliot Fry, who sounds like a novelist, he was released by Atlanta. And I'm like, eyeball emojis? Like Chase McLaughlin got released and then picked up on waivers by someone. Mm-hmm. He's on his like 14th team already, briefly a Viking.
Yep.
Who's kicking? It's not some guy that they have now, Greg Joseph. It's not this UDFA they brought in, Riley Patterson. It's, come on, who's kicking? Who's kicking? What now?
Well, I was going to say Patterson.
You think so? Is he good?
I think it's Patterson. I don't think he's good in college. Do you really think that the plan would be, all right, let's sign two guys, have them compete, and then have neither of them be the kicker?
Yes,
like that can't have that can't be the plan. So maybe
plan.
The only way that the plan gets changed is if somebody who's like really good gets inexplicably cut, sort of like a Dan Bailey, like someone with like an impeccable track record and the team wanted to save a few dollars and go younger. That's the only way that the plan changes. I think this is legitimately the plan to have two unheralded kickers compete. And I think that I would prefer to have the one who's young and under a cheap 3-year deal to become the kicker so you can sort of generate some continuity. I don't think Greg Joseph should have any advantages because he's a veteran, because he's done nothing in the league. Riley Patterson has a big leg. I think he's going to be good.
Okay, I'll have to look about. Like, remember how we looked up Corey Vedvik's kicking stats in college? We're like, guys, he wasn't even good at this in college. Like, why?
Well, neither was Carlson or Walsh, though. Like, the Vikings love inaccurate college kickers with like the right tools. That's kind of how they roll. And Patterson's the same way.
What? Okay. Yeah. Well,
long levers.
Maybe not a great way to do it. I think what they'll do is they'll have this kicking competition that you will do, because I never do this, but you do. And this is the difference between us, is you'll watch every field goal and you write down your notebook and you'll be asking other people, was that one good or was that not good? And I'll be like, I was watching the tight ends over there. I don't care. But you're going to have a market for that this year, watching the tight ends when it comes to, or the kickers when it comes to tight end.
You can be watching the long snapping competition because we have one of those as well.
The kickers when it comes to training camps, what I was trying to say, that you'll be watching them. But I think it's going to be all for naught. I think both guys will kick their little hearts out and then somebody will get released at the end of camp and the Vikings will cut both of them and pick them up. That's my prediction.
They have done this with the punters before. Like I can't remember who, they've had such a long line of punters, but I think Matt Weil,
correct,
came in like after all of it was done and took the job from everybody. And did that happen with Colquitt as well?
I believe
they have shelved their punting competitors a couple of years in a row. So I can't say that they wouldn't do it again.
I do look forward to it though. Okay. The next time we talk will be on WCCO's Twitter and Facebook streams when we break down the schedule just minutes after it's released. That's, we're going to go live and do that on Wednesday evening. What is it? Is it at 7 that they're putting the schedule out, or like, when
I think
is it?
So. Yeah.
8? Whenever it is, you'll see it if you're on the internet. So, okay. We'll talk then, Sam. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.